Cheers, everybody. We are back for another edition of Bourbon on a Budget. TJ Pittenger, Brendan Sinone, Ben Koch, and back with us. It's been a little bit of a while, but Forrest, our producer for part of the year. Forrest had some life stuff come up. Nothing bad. Well, depends on how you look at it. But Forrest had a baby added to his family. I don't know why I said that so weirdly. Like, Forrest's wife had a baby.
TJ, I told my wife today, I'm like, oh, TJ's going to have a baby soon. And she's like, TJ's going to have a baby?
I've asked Kara if, like, that bothers her. And she's like, no, I don't.
I think everyone kind of assumes what's happening in that.
Yeah. You get that. I'm just playing the support role in the process there.
Oh, so. That's sweet. That's good.
Are you assuming Forrest's gender right now?
I am.
Yeah, let's...
All right. As we move on from that.
When I think of Forrest, I think that he has a penis. So, yes.
Oh, jeez. As he puts the fat tire to his lips, I'm very sorry for those of you who couldn't watch Brendan take a swig of beer while talking about another man's penis on this show. Getting into the episode, why did we bring Forrest back?
Other than to sexually harass him?
Why did we bring Forrest back? No, it's not because we missed him. It's because we wanted to torture him. So we made him hang out with us. That was a great way to torture anyone. As our listeners and fans may know every week. Hey, if you're watching this, if you're listening, if you could hit the share button, if you could hit the retweet button, if you could subscribe on all those places like iTunes, YouTube, we would certainly appreciate that. This is not live. I know it says live. I know it's coming to you live. It's not live. We pre-recorded it due to some life events that we expected to come up in this household. If you comment, we would appreciate that, but just know that we're not being rude by not commenting back or not sharing your comments like we normally do. We will go back and read them. I go back and read them every week, even in case I miss something on the show, but we're not live. So you can comment. You can comment along. Just don't think that we're being rude by not commenting back. We brought Forrest back so we can do something really, really special. And I'm going to let Brendan be the captain. You see that Tom Hanks movie?
I'm the captain now.
You're the captain. This is the captain of the Black Pearl. This is the Black Pearl. You're the captain. Tell the people what we're doing tonight.
Tom Hanks was in.
No. Johnny Depp took the boat from Tom Hanks. It's the new movie that's coming out after the court case.
Brendan. Boy. All right. I'm taking off my glasses. Serious stuff here. All right. So, Forrest, have you ever been sommelier before?
I've never been fancy enough to be sommelier. I have to say.
Brace yourself. You're about to be sommelier. So
yeah,
what we're going
Somali
to do?
Somali pirates.
Is... Oh, no, we left that out.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
Forrest, remember how we told you before we start recording this would only be a 30-minute episode? We're 3 minutes in right now. We haven't gotten to the prompt yet.
We haven't covered anything.
Yeah, that's but we've talked about gender roles and your penis, and now bad Somali.
Did not expect that. I have to be honest.
That's a good recap. I like that. Thanks, Brendan.
He took another sip of beer after he mentioned that again. He loves putting that warm metal to his mouth.
All right. On track. Here we go. All right. So, Somalia. So, Forrest, when he joined us and he was our producer, into bourbon, but not into bourbon like how TJ, Ben, and I are nerdily into bourbon. He likes it. He has one bottle at a time. and so, I sent him some samples of bourbons that you can find that are readily available, accessible, but things that I think he would like and would maybe help him continue in his journey and help inform Forrest of his next bourbon purchase. So Forrest, before we kind of sommelier you and kind of get like the ideas of what we think you'll end up liking, we're going to do this blind initially and kind of get your idea of flavors, of notes, see what you like, what you don't like. What, I guess, would you say like is your preference for a bourbon right now? What's the best bourbon you've ever had? What's one you've hated? What's something, I guess, kind of in between typically that you find yourself gravitating towards?
Okay, best bourbon I've had right now that I've got is the Eagle Rare you guys gave me. I believe you did a review on that. I think it was a Corona store pick.
Yes. All right.
So everybody watching this, go back on the YouTube world, make sure you watch that video, that review. Fantastic. So I have had that one. That's my favorite one. In fact, preparing for today, I poured myself a little glass of that just to get my taste buds right for, what is my standard of a bourbon.
Good. A super rare, hard to find.
Won't be found again.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Yeah. Exactly. We're setting a low bar. Good. Okay.
At a wedding a few weeks ago, I had my first ever just straight Jack Daniels. I just wanted to see what that tasted like. So that was interesting to taste that compared to like actual good bourbon that I used to with you guys. Sure. So I don't really, when it comes to bourbon, I would say in general, I enjoy bourbon. So I'm not necessarily ever in a place where I have 10 bottles of bourbon and I'm trying different things and comparing them. So I am excited about that tonight, to be able to have five different things to compare them to. Even though it's blind, I'm a little bit afraid of that, because I'm afraid I'm going to pick something that's like totally low shelf and there's going to be some kind of crazy like Pappy in here or something. I know you wouldn't pour me that. I know that would be a little bit out of the price range. But I mean, I would say in general, with my taste, I usually like stuff that is stronger flavor. So whether it's coffee or whiskey or food in general, I want the flavor to be turned up really high. And that's usually what stands out to me. So I remember when we did the store pick with you guys for the Blue Note, I think the initial bourbon that jumped out to me was one that tasted a little bit different maybe than the others. And I think it got possibly ruled out quickly. But for me, I went to it initially because it was different than the others. Now, I guess if you're, you know, a more experienced sommelier like yourself, you would know that the difference was maybe it being a little bit immature or not good. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
So for that one specifically, that pick, I think that's the one that Brad, who does these store picks all the time, really liked, if I'm not mistaken, because it was funky and different. And we were just trying to go with like home plate. Like we just wanted
what's
to gonna get
be the best, you know, yeah, what's going most to be enjoyable to drink.
Quintessential bourbon, maybe, if you will, fellas. So you liking stronger flavors is good, because I remember that note, and everything here is going to have something distinctive, or it should, at least in theory. All five of the samples, proof isn't an issue for you, Forrest. You can handle bourbon and higher proof stuff, so we don't have to worry about something being a little higher proof too. So
perfect.
Can you refresh me on your current drinking style? Are you pretty much drinking things neat most of the time or all the time, or do you still like a cube of ice? Like, how are you drinking things?
I took all the vials, and earlier I made some old fashions with them, so that's what I'll be drinking tonight. Right? No, I'm just kidding. No, they're all totally neat. Typically, I mean, I do enjoy an old fashioned, but usually I'm just pouring it neat. As TJ so eloquently said at the beginning, I did have a child it's been almost 2 months ago now, so my drinking has been kind of at next to zero. So this will be some of the first alcohol I've tasted since the baby was born, just because when you're staying up all night, doesn't seem like a good idea to really mix alcohol with that, unless you're in college, I suppose. But so tonight I'm drinking all of these neat. Okay. I only have one Glencairn. You call this a Glencairn?
Glencairn? Is that what
Yeah.
Yeah. So I only have one of those. So I didn't want to be unfair to the samples. So I do have multiple like this style. So I poured them all in this kind of, rock, I guess you call this a highball or something. Yeah.
Rock glasses. Yeah.
There you go. So,
and that'll just, it shouldn't impact the flavor at all. Maybe the nosing, maybe something will be a little like pungent at first, but you'll get used to that real quickly. So
I'm more interested in the fact that they're all the same glass.
They're all the same. And they are
the most comparison. So that's whatever glass it's in, then you're at least starting from the same kind of point of reference. So that's good.
So do we want Forrest to mute real quick, and so we can kind of explain to the listeners what we got here, and we can kind of prepare them for what we think is going to happen?
Yeah.
All right. Forrest, you guys just wave me back.
We'll do crazy waves. All right. All righty. We got five
samples.
We're
doing the full Pappy lineup.
Pappy 23. Forrest is legitimately scared that we're going to like give him some bottom shelf swill right now. That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So sample A is going to be a Blue Note store pick. It wasn't ours. We didn't have that yet at the time. It's a Sealbacks one.
Great if it was ours.
But the Sealbacks one is solid. Sealbacks does a really good job with their store picks. So it is a high quality. Not the Orphan Barrel. Oh, God, Ben. What are they called?
Survivor Barrel.
Thank you.
I was like, what are you talking about?
All right. Speaking of children. B is going to be Old Forester 1920. I think Forrest, and I also think he likes higher proof stuff. I think that's going to be the winner. We'll see. C is going to be Maker's Mark Cask Strength. D is going to be Russell's Reserve. Now, I did a blend 50-50 of the 10-year and then the 110, a single barrel, just to kind of see, give him a Wild Turkey line, give it 100 proof, and see what direction he wants to go. That could actually be a recommendation if he wanted more proof with it. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Four Roses, single barrel.
What was B again?
B was,
I was not listening to you.
1920 Old Forester.
Ooh, let's go B. Let's right. go. Forest, be my boy.
All right, so we're going to start with A, and that's going to be Blue Note. TJ?
Okay, we ready to bring him back?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's bring him back.
My boy. Be my boy, Forest. Let's go.
Okay, Forest is back. He's also a professional. He's a professional lip reader, so he got all of that.
Yes.
Right.
I thought that was really generous. I mean, yeah. To pour the Pappy like that in multiple glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
The same Pappy 23 and all
You're
of them.
You're welcome. Just do straight shots of all of them.
Okay.
All right. So A, let's start with
letter A.
Number A.
Right. So this is A right here. Alpha. Yes. I tried to save myself a little bit in case I like it. So
that's a good idea.
Swirl around here.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So like Brendan said, I do smell like strong like alcohol, I guess, at the beginning, which it is. It's bourbon. Yeah. So there you go.
That's good. Welcome to that. Yeah.
It smells kind of woody to me.
Okay.
I'll buy that.
And you guys know what this is, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool, cool, cool. I'm going to drink it.
All right. Go for it.
Go Forest. Go for it. Go for it.
I don't get it.
Yeah. You wouldn't.
It's too high.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually really interested in the palate for most of these because I feel like a rocks glass is pretty difficult to nose off of. And so I think your main point of reference is going to be taste.
Give us your very first, like, don't overanalyze it at first, Forrest. Is your very first impression. You said okay. So did you like it, not like it? How'd you feel about it?
My first impression was I'm expecting bourbon to be very vanilla, caramel, that kind of range. Mentally, I was thinking about, like, all right, like, make sure you know all the different kinds of fruits in case I have to call out, like, is it banana, is it peach? I don't really get much of anything like that in this. Like, to me, this is much more, it tastes far more woody, more earthy. I don't feel like I get a lot of the fruit or, like, a normal, like, vanilla kind of flavor to it.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. All right, go to the B. Go to the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. I like moving quickly through mine.
Yeah.
You'll at least know and better or worse. That's all
and
you need.
We will revisit. We'll have you eliminate like two after you go through five, and then you can kind of revisit them.
Good call. I'm kind of nervous. I'm a little nervous about this. We'll see. Okay.
We had learned through our sampling with doing it with Brad and the fine folks at Gaspar's was like not to overanalyze it initially.
Yeah.
So going to B. We don't have to reannounce what B is, right, guys? We know our listeners will remember what it was. Yeah. Okay.
Right off the bat, B seems sharper to me, like just tasting it. Sharper, it's like more forward, more of an alcohol kind of flavor to it. I think I would maybe prefer A.
Okay.
If that's allowed.
Okay. Yep. No, that is allowed. So sharper, so it's hard, like is like a more harsh, like you're not enjoying the sharpness.
Well,
that B is providing.
Do you get any of those characteristics that you were talking about looking for? Vanilla, caramel, fruity, anything on this one?
Yeah, I would say like I remember you guys describing a bourbon as shiny one time. B seems more shiny to me than A. And I do feel like there's some kind of like peach vibe going on there.
Okay.
Less like vanilla. I feel like I'm getting less of the kind of vanilla.
Okay. I'm taking all these notes. All
right.
Down,
so we can should we go to C?
Yep. You go to C.
Okay. C smells more like what I am expecting in a bourbon, I think, which means it's probably like the only scotch that you poured in here or something.
No scotches.
That is a Lafroig. Very good call. Yes.
Yeah. It smells much more like custardy kind of in that vein.
Okay, I like that.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, definitely get like the there's kind of a creaminess to this one that I did not taste in B. It feels like it's more it is in like that custard. That's what keeps popping out to me. Like a still not getting like the strong caramel kind of flavor that I feel like I am used to tasting in bourbons.
Okay. But you get the the creaminess. Is it more the is the
creamy certainly
more the taste force, or is it more like the feeling of creamy?
No, no, it's the taste. It's the taste. Like Beast definitely seems more sharp flavored to me with like if there was a fruit, it was something more like a peach, whereas this one certainly seems more like creamy custard kind of flavor.
Okay.
And
we know what's in Brendan, we know what's in C that's he's interpreting that different than what we would call it. But we know what's different there that's making him call it creamy. So I do like that he's picking up on something different.
That's something different.
We're going to call it something else. Okay. It's going to make sense to you when we do. But I do like that you're picking up a noticeable difference on C. There's
and I'm curious.
Distinctly different about it.
Yeah, I wonder if it is the glass. I wonder if it is the glass that does make it less of the smell that maybe since I have been drinking out of the Glencairn.
Yeah, so the Glencairn, the way that, like, that's the way it's shaped, makes the fumes kind of
major difference. And,
shoot out.
Taste is a major, smell is a major part of taste, too. And so not being able to smell it properly does have an impact. I almost never, I should send you one of our Glencairns. They're also pretty cheap at Total Wine, but if you're just drinking one thing, then.
Also, Costco had a big pack of them for like. 30 bucks, like six. It was great.
There we go.
Is Forrest going to get one before Joe Decadence gets a...
Joe got one, I think.
So I'll move on to D.
Yep.
All right. Somebody's got to fill some dead space. You guys got to talk while I think or something, you know?
No all right,
so Brendan, what are you... Oh, we already know he's drinking.
Well, Forrest is contemplating his D.
Brendan, not the first time tonight, we'll show.
Talk about
wait, what we're talking about Force D again?
You're right. We're back to square one.
We're back to his D. We're back to it, baby.
Yeah.
I took a big swig of the beer.
Big swig.
Yeah. Brendan, do you have any comments on my D or should I elaborate?
How about you tell us about your D and we'll all learn about your D at the same time?
Alright. Well, this D compared to some of the
today
others.
Showing your own D.
Oh god, Ben.
Too much. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting in this one, it's definitely, it feels closer to the C in that like I'm still getting the kind of creamy. However, I think it does.
The D is close to the C, just for the record.
They're getting very close. It's sharp. It's sharper than, it's kind of has the sharpness of a B. And I'm getting more of the... I feel like I'm picking up more of what I would traditionally expect in a bourbon. Like I can taste more of the, like to me, there does seem to be kind of a more fruity carameliness to that one.
Okay. All right.
Which again, makes me concerned that it's probably like a rye or something. No.
So that is the first bourbon that you've gotten legit caramel on though, to this point, right?
I mean, I think C, like I said, C was the first one that jumped out to me that like there was something custardy, like it was a creamier taste than the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And then D, I feel like is kind of following in that vein. Yeah, I'm definitely getting some of the, like D feels sweeter to me, and you can quote me on that, than maybe some of the previous ones.
Okay, right. we will quote you. That'll be that episode title.
All right,
so let's move on to E.
Brendan Sweet D.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Forrest is going to get really drunk. He hasn't had anything in 2 months, and we're making him go through this pretty quickly.
He has to finish all the samples before the end of the night, though.
Yeah, we do.
That would be a great time.
Give one of them to your baby, too.
Yeah, I'll be on baby duty in a couple hours here. Uh-oh. Yeah, so E, I don't know if maybe it's a higher proof thing, but like just going back to, it reminds me more of like that B, where it's kind of has a sharper, maybe like a higher proof smell to it.
Okay.
And it reminds me more of the, like when I first tasted it and smelled it, it did remind me more of a slightly kind of fruitiness to it. Like it feels more open than like the custardy kind of C and D. It feels like it's a little more airy.
Guys, that's really impressive that he's picking up the fruitiness and kind of even just like the lightness on that. That's interesting. All right. That's really impressive.
All right, so narrow it down like your top two. Give me a top two.
No, don't give me a top. Eliminate one real quick. Okay. Like one that you're just like, this is trash.
Ben, that's all back through.
Yeah.
One
that you're just like, I did not enjoy this. I won't miss not having to sip it again.
I see, but that's where I always come back to on things. It's like, I feel like I struggle to have an opinion. To me, it's just kind of like, I drank it. That's how it was. It's hard to have.
Just well, like, what are you going to grab first? Like, I want to finish this glass first.
I think I would probably eliminate B.
Oh, you piece of garbage.
That was what we thought you would pick, but that definitely, based on his notes.
Dang it.
He described it as sharp, sharp multiple times.
Yeah, he didn't like that one.
Alcohol, peach is the only flavor he got.
That was the Pappy 23 for us.
Yeah,
that
I know that
ruined it for me.
Hey, I know that we're going to say what it is in a little bit, but Ben really likes that. I've always thought that that drink's exceptionally hot. Like, and I like our Blue Note store pick, which is a higher proof than that one, but I always think that one drinks hotter. So I don't know if that's just me, but I think Forrest picked up on kind of the same thing there.
Yeah,
I thought when Forrest was saying that he liked flavors earlier, that he actually enjoyed more flavors.
But if you're newer into it,
his thing that's fair. Incorrect.
That's if fair. You're newer into it, it sometimes it's tough to get around the proof. He did that with some of the higher proof stuff. For sure.
This is a higher proof. This was a higher proof one, but Forrest does like bourbon, so I wanted to at least throw a high proof one in there and be like, okay, if he can do a 90 to 100 proof, maybe he could do like a 115er. And no, that's a little aggressive right now.
Which this is my personality. Is I'm like, so now that you guys tell me that, I'm like, okay, what I'm sensing is like sharpness just means it's higher proof. Right. So now I'm kind of examining it. I'm like, okay, like there is some complexity flavor there. That I wasn't necessarily getting.
He's putting it back on the table, guys.
That's right.
But no, I mean, my initial reaction would be B, just because it felt so sharp and like I was getting a lot of that kind of alcohol content. That would have been my first one that I would take out.
All right. We'll eliminate it. No hard feelings there. Ben's heartbroken, but that's fine. Ben's dead.
No hard feelings.
I was kind of interested in C because it was like different. It felt so different than B because it did have that creamy feel to me, which now makes me wonder if that just means that it's lower proof and that's what I'm picking up on.
Not a ton. Everything's kind of in a similar realm here. I think B was the highest proof of them, but
I was kind of intrigued by E. I feel like I kind of liked that. Maybe that's because I've already had four other drinks of bourbon, so my palate is ready for bourbon, you know. But I would put E aside and say like it tastes to me. I hope viewers or listeners, I'm not making a fool of myself that E is like the worst one on here, but like E to me does seem like it had. When I first drank it, it felt like there was a little bit more going on there. Like I wanted to kind of think about it and see what all was happening in E.
Mm-hmm. So let's put E and C aside because Forrest seems to like both of those. Do we want to add one more to the finalist group or do you feel like those two? It seemed like you like D as well.
I feel TJ, like everyone I can see that. And
everyone can see that. Well, don't look, Forrest.
I'm not
Close
looking.
Close your eyes.
Sorry. Whoops, I should have put the names.
And he was still going, too. After we said we could all see it, he kept it up there for like another 10 seconds. That was crazy.
I was like, I know. I was like, that's why I put it up there so people could see it.
Now, I would say I didn't look as long as Brendan at the Hillary Duff photos from earlier. That will date us on when this was recorded. But I did catch a sneak peek. So for me, it was just like I saw it and I glanced away. So I saw I saw four roses. I didn't see anything else. I don't know. So E and C were there for me.
This is clearly ruined.
Go ahead. Lead on. I don't know what you guys.
No, stop.
Right, I'm not looking.
Okay. I got rid of the names. I got rid of the names, you sissies.
Okay,
first,
so I can look at it.
My first reaction was to put my hand over it like that would do.
Yeah.
That'll teach out, guys.
Block yourself out. Yeah.
All right, so we eliminated B.
Put your hater blockers on.
Eliminate one more for me, Forrest, and go back to A one more time just because that was the very first one. Make sure you give it a fair shake, but my gut is like you did not care for that a ton, which will make sense in a minute if that's what we stick with here. But go to A one more time before we figure out if that's the eliminated one.
I'm cool moving on from A.
Okay. All right. So A and B both being eliminated makes sense.
Goodbye,
I think we're seeing.
Goodbye, my friend.
I don't want the whole song. I just want a taste. Michael Scott.
I have a story about it. I'm not going to share it. We'll move on.
No, go ahead.
No, there's a story there.
Clearly you guys watch The Office. I was thinking about songs they sing in The Office. When Michael leaves The Office, they sing a song that apparently was on Broadway. I guess it was on Rent. maybe
500.
Yes, 500 to 1,600 minutes. Come on.
I went to.
I didn't know that was from abroad.
Yes, exactly. I went to a like a performance, a high school choir here in Bradenton, and they were singing that song, and I was like, "That's so cool." They did a song from The Office.
Oh my god.
Afterwards, they were like, "Yeah, you're an idiot. Like, how uncultured are you? This is Broadway."
So. Apparently, just as
you're like, why aren't the lyrics quite matching up?
Yeah, what's going on? All right, so we got E, or we'll do an E, C, and D now.
We have C, D, and E. Yeah, so okay. Just let's narrow it down here at this point. But A and B being eliminated makes a lot of sense, as we'll show some airspace here, because those are both the two highest poof ones.
Really?
Yeah, so yep. I'd say you like, based on the way you reacted to them, I'd say like it seemed like you like E the most, and then C and D kind of reminded you of each other. So maybe pick a winner between C and D, and then and then a winner, you know. So between C and D, what do you like?
So
seasons of
D feels like I think I'll go with. Well, all right. Can I taste them one more time? You guys have some quick
banter. Describe the mouthfeel of D. Give me just a general rundown.
How does the D feel in your mouth?
Yeah. Give me the.
Let me report back to you real quick after I take a sip.
Yeah. I'm really interested.
It really seems to just really fully coat the whole mouth. I'll say
That's right.
Hillary Duff.
You can thank Brendan for that.
Shoot.
Honestly, I think I would go with D. I think I would go with E and D between these.
All right.
Give him the D because he knows what E is, clearly.
All right. So we're down between D and E. Do we want to tell him what they are as he finishes and tells us which one his favorite one is? Or do we want to.
No, should we talk about the other ones? Let's talk about the other ones.
Yeah, let's talk about
what's right, talk to me about it.
Okay. So A was a Blue Note store pick that was not our store pick.
Not our store pick.
Brendan gave you that. Yeah. Brendan gave you that.
I would have known ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It was the one that you hated.
Brendan gave you that before we did our pick, obviously. And so, or before we got our pick. So that was a Blue Note store pick. Okay. Not as much fruit, vanilla, oak, earthy. I think A and B. So B was 1920 Old Forester that Ben absolutely loves. So those, Brendan, what's the proof on that Blue Note? Old Forester's 115.
Stall for a second. Hang on. I got it.
So I think those are going to be in the same vein, like between 110 and 120. So I think just why you pick them up is like less vanilla, less fruit, less caramel, a lot of oak is because of their high proof.
Like, that makes sense. And I will say, like, again, I think this comes back to my whole thing with drinking or food in general is I tend to be less like opinionated and more just kind of so for like when we have the store pick, like I was drinking the Blue Note store pick the other day and I enjoy it, and maybe that's a sentimental thing because I remember doing it, but it's like knowing that okay, this is the proof of it, this is what it is, it's like I kind of go into it and I'm just appreciating it for what it is versus like comparing it. So this is interesting to see that I guess the higher proof is something that's what I'm picking up on.
120.8 proof is what that is.
So it's big.
Okay. So that's pretty hot.
It's a good model.
Big bold. But if you're used to like getting through proof is one thing, but if you're usually like in the 90 range or then jumping up to 120 is a pretty aggressive. But I wanted us to be aggressive with those options to see if like maybe you like it. So not there yet, which is fine. All right. So we eliminated C, right? That was the other one we eliminated.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which is about C, Brendan.
That was Maker's Mark cask strength. So
okay,
of course, that was the very first one that you were like, hey, this tastes kind of like bourbon. So the difference of that is it's Maker's Mark is a wheated bourbon, so instead of rye it has wheat, which creates some softer elements to the flavor profile, but it's proofed at, I think 107, so significantly less than the Old Forester and the Blue Note, and then also a lower rye content would also make it less spicy. So you saying creamy and custardy is really impressive because it was distinctly different and has that more of a, I usually we call it bready or vanilla based, but that's how you absorbed it. And I think that was astute for somebody who's picking up flavors pretty early on in their journey. So that was good, man.
The market is one for the good guys there.
Yeah, that was impressive. It was a distinctive difference. That's cool. That's good.
We always refer to Makers as very bready. Okay. Picking up custard out of that is, you're interpreting the same note. You're just calling it something a little bit different. So that was impressive. As soon as you said that, I even made comment of it to Brendan and said, like, hey, he's getting this. He just doesn't know what to call it. But that was really, really good. And picking up custard is not wrong. Like, I don't want to represent it that way either. I think that, you know, we just have always called it one thing, but you picking that up was really, really impressive. So I think that was good.
We're talking about a sweet, savory dessert, basically, is what he was getting. Sorry, not as impressive as what I ruined your transition, TJ.
Yeah, not as impressive as that you were getting custard on D, because that you shouldn't have been getting it there if you were getting it on C. But more fruity caramel on D makes some sense. Brendan, do you want to tell them what D and E were? Or do you want to pick? You want to pick?
Yeah, let's have you pick what your favorite between D and E is. What's the champion?
All right. One final taste here. Let me cleanse the palate.
All right.
Good. Cleanse it.
Cleanse it.
Straight cleanse.
It cleanses the palate and the loins. Remember that commercial, guys?
No.
We got to fill space.
No, sorry. I legitimately got distracted with Hillary Duff.
What is that a commercial for? I don't even know.
Hold on. We're going full screen on this and we're watching this right now.
We're going to get copyrighted.
But that's fine. Stop screen.
Share. We don't need all of us ogling over Hillary Duff and live camera.
Please screen share whatever's on Brendan's screen right now.
It's Hillary Duff.
If you have control over that, just do that.
This one was
all right, so I'm ready. I'm ready to render my
magical blend of barley, hops, and delicious alcohol.
Got it. It's not the line. Action.
Makes a perfect Valentine's gift for the ladies.
Hot.
A lot of sweat goes into every bottle. Not literally. That would be gross. But you know what I mean.
Hot.
Refreshes the palate and the loins. Bud Light, suck one.
Bud Light, suck one.
You guys don't remember that?
Oh, what that was a great marketing campaign.
We were watching a lot of suck him. One. My wife.
I'm ready. I'm ready to render a verdict when you guys are ready. You call me in.
You're ready. All right. You're ready.
As much as I love the D, I think E is my winner. E feels lighter to me. I like the flavor of it. I feel like I'm getting more of the fruity kind of, like, if I was drinking it, if I was choosing one of these, I would go to E before I would go to D.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. I like it.
All right.
So E wins.
D was a blend. It was a hybrid of Russell's Reserve 10 Year, which is a 90 proofer, and then the Russell's Reserve Single Barrel, which is 110. I combined them to make it 100 proof. And just to kind of see, like, you might like Wild Turkey Line if you like this one quite a bit, which you did. It was your second place one. I think this opens you up to other Wild Turkey products. There's 101. Mm-hmm. There's Rare Breed, which is higher proof you may not like. Mm-hmm. But maybe the Russell's Reserve 90 proof, the 10-year one, might be something that might be right up your alley.
I think Russell's 10-year was maybe the first bourbon that I bought, I'm not mistaken. And I don't know if it was like a single barrel or whatever, but. Maybe that's why I was drawn to it. Sentimental choice.
Ooh, there you go. You tasted something familiar there. Kentucky Spirit would be a good one for you. It's a 101 proof. It's store picks. It's really solid. So E is, drum roll, Four Roses Single Barrel. An absolute
Four Roses
budget banger.
Nice.
Have you had Four Roses for us?
I don't think I have, but I remember, like, I was producing when I think you did Four Roses, or maybe I just remember a discussion where you are really into Four Roses. I remember that.
Oh, you know what? I think that might have been when we were doing the Brendan month and that made it. So, yeah, it's Four Roses.
Yeah, you're right.
Man. It's, to me, like, one of the best values for, like, a $40 bottle out there.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, readily available, especially if you're, like, a Costco membership or Sam's Club.
Yeah.
You can find it for $40.
Let's delineate the Four Roses Single Barrel and the Four Roses Small Batch.
Oh, there's a huge difference.
There is a night and day difference. One is garbage. One is greatness.
So which one do we want? Single Barrel?
Single Barrel.
Single barrel. And that's the more distinctive. I'll show you what the bottle looks like. The
fancier, kind of like squared off bottle.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Okay.
You do not want the Small Batch.
This is a
nice
barrel strength one. But yeah, this is what it'll look like. Don't get the more modern one.
I guess that's my winner. I hope that's a classy selection. Sorry, Ben, I didn't go with great, your thoughts.
It's a great selection. It's a great transition one. You stuck to the little bit lower proofs, right? Like the 120 proof stuff was pretty aggressive, 115, 120. And as proof lowered, you seem to like things a little bit more. You picked up more notes, which is pretty standard for somebody that's newer into bourbon. Like, I don't expect you to pick up every single thing out of 120 proof bourbon. Like, I think the results make sense. I also think it's big that you picked up the the fruity notes on the Four Roses. I think there's, you know, not to be cliche, but I do think there's some floral notes there that some people pick up. But Potpourri. The fruity, more sweet notes on the Four Roses were a huge pickup by you. So you did that well.
Yeah, it's interesting going back and drinking the B now. Like, I definitely get that. I see why the proof is throwing me off, because it is – that's the first, like – predominant thing I noticed tasting it is a bourbon noob. That's what comes across, is like, hey, I'm getting that alcohol, that like strong. I think that's what, you know, we said we were interpreting as. So that was informative.
Yeah, that was the goal. And Four Roses to me, like, that's the bourbon that got me into Four Roses single barrels, what got me into drinking bourbon neat. And I was like, oh, it could actually taste good without ice. It's something I would recommend to anyone who's like wanting to take the jump from like Jack Daniels or like SoCo or anything early, you know, on to like make that jump. That's a transition one. So you picking that, I think, is perfect. Mm-hmm. What other stuff, guys, do you think we could recommend? Like, the Four Roses single barrel for Forrest, obviously he would enjoy that. Is there anything else from the Four Roses line? Like the small batch select, maybe? Is
no, that going to be too like expensive? No, I'd pass on that
jump there.
I'd say you guys are going to roll your eyes and.
Mm-hmm. Do not say Crossroads. You're definitely
But I'm going to go the other one. I'm going to go 1910. You know, the 1920 was really, really aggressive for what it was. I think the 1910, I may have poured you a sample of that. You may have a sample of that somewhere. If not, I mean, I can get you one. The 1910 may be a little bit more up his alley. Not as high on proof, but still a ton of flavor in that bottle. Probably a good way to start to transition into something like a 1920. It's not as aggressive. Same line. So if you like the 1910, you'll probably like the 1920 later on as well. He liked the Russells. So I think the idea around the Wild Turkey stuff, the Kentucky Spirit, was good. Regular Russells, it seems like he liked as well. So I think sticking with that line would be good. What about you, Ben? What do you got?
Geez, maybe take a look at
the Makers, the Makers stuff.
Oh, he did like Makers.
Yeah, Makers Cask. Do we talk about Rare Breed yet at $45?
I thought with the proof, the proof being a little, that's a higher proof. I thought of him not liking Old Forester 1920, that the Rare Breed might be a tad aggressive for right now.
Makers 46 might be a good one, not the Makers 46 cask strength, but it may be something that steps down just a little bit. Makers 46 would be a good one.
And would you guys say of the five that I tasted tonight, are they all kind of similar price ranges?
Yeah, yes. 50. The Russells can be down to like 30 if you just
Blue
do
Note,
the
40.
Okay.
Yeah. Between 40 and 60 on all of them.
Yeah.
I will say
relatively, and they're all accessible. You can find them all, like, to some extent or another, with a just going to a couple.
Blue
Note's
probably the toughest, but otherwise,
not to toe the company line here, but my current bottle number one, thanks to TJ, is Bourbon on a Budget store pick, the barrel pick of Blue Note. That's what I'm drinking, so that's what I'm rocking with. Whenever I'm through that bottle, maybe I'll go out and find some Four Roses or something.
Four Roses
like that,
single barrel,
or get a fat tire. Get a fat tire,
or like, you know, be like Brendan,
or maybe own two bottles at a time. You could really stretch it.
That's true.
Own two bottles.
When you have a bourbon on a budget barrel pick, you don't need two bottles.
That's an impress your guest. There's so much in that one.
All right, no one likes
to need two bottles, which is why we bought the whole case.
So, another idea, we also, what would be fun, we're not going to do this tonight. But what would be fun is to build a forest pack. And by forest pack, remember when we did a five bourbons for every occasion? What were they, Ben? Impress your guests, everyday drinker, mixer, Friday night war, special occasion.
Yep, that was it.
So, I mean,
I remember that.
I'm glad I got you there.
So thank you, Ben, for your help.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. I got you. Don't worry.
So I think Forrest Friday Night Pour is probably going to be the Four Roses single barrel. Mixer, I think he could go with
Four Roses single barrel.
Yeah, Old Forester 100, just kind of a traditional mixer there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we could build like a Forest pack. That's the follow up to this.
Hey, I will allow myself to be sommeliered by you guys.
But anytime. You got
to
go buy 5 bottles if that happens. So
no, that's why I think this is one bottle. Here's a 1 bottle collection. You got to choose one, mix it.
Well, no, that was a few months ago. See, we're evolving here. You know, we're growing into it.
Blue now.
Fatherhood is getting him to start collecting bourbon over time.
Yeah, that's right. I got to get new hobbies since I can't get out to the golf course as much. You know, I got to have a more at home kind of hobby.
I love golfing.
Oh boy.
I love it.
Getting old.
Forrest, thank you for hanging out tonight. Do you guys have anything else for Forrest before we go? We told him 30 minutes. We're at 40. That's not too bad. So I feel
like for us,
get out of here.
No, thank you for having fun with us, Forrest, and trusting us that we did not prank you, even though you were scared the entire time that you were going to get.
No, thank you guys so much. That was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and we're just kidding. Those were all Pappies.
Like every single one of
those. No, I'm just
playing. That's what I figured.
Same Basil Hayden.
Yeah, they were all Eagle Rare. Ben hates all of them. So, all
right.
Hey, on Thursday we're reviewing Blue Note Crossroads, better than anything you just tasted for. So you'll definitely want to stick around and check that review out. Interact with us on social media, Bourbon on a Budget everywhere. For TJ Pittenger, Brendan Snow, Bincock, and Forrest.
Hey.
Cheers.
Cheers. Back to Hillary Duff.
Oh my God.